Can you hear me?
Yes.
The mic is on. Well, I am so excited to be here with you this morning, as I know that God has great things in store for us. Most of us are familiar with God's attribute of faithfulness. As Christians, we know that God is faithful towards us. And in fact, this is something we should celebrate, because without God's faithfulness, we wouldn't have been able to even make it to church here this morning. But we did make it. God has been faithful to us. God's faithfulness is what we will be exploring today. In the prophetic books in the Bible, we see that God is faithful to his first chosen people, the Israelites, even though they turn their back on him again and again. In the book of Jeremiah, this is no different. God continues to be faithful to them. In my life, God has proven his faithfulness. I am a living testimony to God's faithfulness, and that is why I can stand here before you today. God is faithful to each one of us, and in turn, we need to be faithful to God and to one another. So are you ready to explore God's faithfulness with me? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Before we talk about God's faithfulness, I think that it is important for each one of us to understand the problem of Israel, because let me tell you, they had a problem. They were in great trouble. In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, God says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold any water." We see in the Bible that the people of Israel had a long history of worshiping other gods, gods that were meaningless and could not amount to anything at all. The false gods that these people worshiped could not give them the living water for their souls that they needed. They could not bring them hope and restoration in times of trouble. And they could not bring them salvation that they needed for their sins. God is the one that could do this. And God continued to call them back. He often called them an adulterous bride that were being called again and again to come back to their husband. This was God himself, the one who had brought them out of Egypt and given them a new way of life. But the people we see failed at this time and time again, as they were called to have an exclusive love for God, but they made the choice not to do this. And because of this, they faced God's judgment, and they face calamity and destruction and even death among the people. The place that they once called home was in ruin as it burned to the ground. And their relationship with God was broken. The people were exiled into the land of their enemies, the Babylonians, because of the choices that the people made, they faced true hopelessness and despair. Oftentimes in our life, we can face hopelessness and despair as well. And it's not because of anything that we have done, but it's because of life circumstances that are often out of our control. I can truly relate to this. I understand what this feels like. I was born with a physical disability called cerebral palsy, and that is why I walk the way that I do. When I was born 3 months premature, and I shared my mother's womb with my twin sister, Brittany. And we shared different amniotic sacs, and mine was leaking, and it deprived me of oxygen, and that is why I have cerebral palsy. But on top of being born with cerebral palsy, I struggled with many things. People in my life wrote me off. My mom had a relationship with me that was based upon fear. And because of this, she got really good at saying, "Jenny, you can't do that," every time I wanted to try something new. My teachers at school placed me in the developmentally challenged classes for those with special needs because they thought that I was incapable of learning what the other students were learning. I hated going to school as a young girl because I was often subject to bullying, and no one really wanted to be my friend because they didn't know what to do with me. I was lonely. On top of being written off by everyone and excluded from everything, I struggled with very low self-esteem. In fact, I got up in the morning and I said to myself, "Oh, I just feel so ugly. The way that my body is and my legs move, I just look so weird." And because of my cerebral palsy, I've had to have many operations. And these operations have caused me to have scars on my legs. I have many scars on my legs, and I used to be disgusted by them. I thought, "Oh, what kind of man would be attracted to me because I have these scars on my legs?" I totally felt unworthy of anyone's love, as I didn't think that anyone wanted to be around me. And if they did, they just felt sorry for me. That's what I thought. On top of this, I felt very afraid. In fact, the fear that I struggled with in my heart was the very thing that held me captive. It made me more crippled than my legs ever could. I would break down at the face of a new challenge, and I would be afraid to try anything new because I did not want to fail in my life, because everyone said I couldn't do anything, and so I believed it for myself. I thought that someone like me had no purpose in life. I looked at my circumstances, and I wallowed in self-pity oftenly enough. If people felt sorry for me, I felt more sorry than anyone ever could, believe me. And so I thought that someone like me couldn't do anything good and had really nothing to offer in this world. Needless to say, I truly faced hopelessness and despair. I had nowhere to turn. There was no way out, no way of hope, and really no reason to live. But I'm thankful to say that this is not the end of my story. It is just the beginning. Just as it wasn't the end of Israel's story or Jeremiah's story, because he would be faithful to his beloved ones. God was faithful to his first chosen people, the Israelites, in many ways. Firstly, he was faithful simply by sending Jeremiah the prophet. This is the last prophetic book in the Bible. And God did not have to send Jeremiah. He could have been like, "Oh, those people, they're not going to listen to me, so it doesn't matter. I won't send him." But he did. And he didn't have that kind of attitude, but he had an attitude of faithfulness. He said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as prophet to the nations." Jeremiah did not have an easy calling. He was called to dedicate his life to tell the people to turn their way back to God, or they would face destruction. They did not listen to him. On top of not listening to him, God did not permit him to marry or have children. And so I bet he felt lonely sometimes. He preached for 40 long years without seeing any positive results among the people. God was not only faithful in sending Jeremiah, but he was faithful in giving Jeremiah a compassionate heart towards the people of Israel, even though they did not deserve it. We know Jeremiah as the weeping prophet because he yearned for the people of God to stop doing what they were doing. He was heartbroken for the situation. I bet sometimes Jeremiah wanted to give up, but he said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, "But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is on my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in, and indeed I cannot." God gave compassion to Jeremiah for the people and a passionate heart to keep telling his truth even when it was most difficult. Not only was God faithful in this way, but God was faithful to Jeremiah in rescuing him just as he promised from the very beginning. God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you,' declares the Lord." The Lord was faithful in this. And Jeremiah had no one to count on except for God's faithfulness. As the people beat him up, they kicked him out of the temple, they threw him in prison, and eventually they threw him in a well to die. Because they did not just dislike Jeremiah, but they hated him and tried to kill him with their own hands. But God was faithful in rescuing Jeremiah. We see that God sent 30 men to rescue him from the well. And as he sent men with ropes of cloth to pull Jeremiah out of that well when he thought he was going to face destruction, God was faithful to Jeremiah in rescuing him, just as he said he would. I want to tell you that God has been faithful to me. I have truly experienced hope and restoration in my life, even when I thought it was impossible and when there was nowhere to turn. Things started to change for me when I was 15 years old, and I met a lady named Julie Hayes in my high school cafeteria. She worked for Youth for Christ at the time, and so her goal was to come in and tell us about Jesus. After some time, after getting to know her, I eventually did a Bible study called Celebrate. You are a daughter of the King. And that is what I learned. I learned that God's truth defined me, not what other people said. I learned that I'm not a mistake, that I'm not ugly to God. It says in Psalm 139, "For you have created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I know that full well. I know that now I'm not a mistake. I'm a beautiful young woman. I'm a masterpiece created by God and for God. And I want all of you women here to know, young and old, that you are beautiful just the way that you are. You're not a mistake, but you're a masterpiece. And guys, you're the man. Telling you, you're great. Not only did God help me to see that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, but he helped me to know that I am truly loved and included in his family. When I learned that Jesus had died on the cross for me, and and gave his life for me so that I could have a relationship with him. I have never felt so loved in my life. I am not worthy, but God made me worthy through Jesus Christ. And that gave me a reason to live. It gave me new hope and a new perspective on life. As I began to understand that I can take on the life that God had for me, he began to conquer my fears. As fears held me back, God would not allow that to happen anymore. As Jeremiah learned that God would be with him, that is what I learned too, and I took a hold of it as tightly as I could. As I began to gain my independence by taking the bus by myself in my small town of St. Thomas, Ontario, I started going out with friends from church. I even went to camp and rode in canoes. I touched spiders and frogs, which is something I don't do, let me tell you. Not even today will I do that. But I did it. And I rode a horse, and I even put on a pair of high heel shoes. Who would have thought? They looked fabulous, by the way. God helped me to conquer my fears and truly live in freedom. As I was able to grasp this freedom that he had for me, as he was faithful to me and being with me every step of the way, I was able to see beauty in my circumstance. Remember how I said I didn't think God could ever use these legs. They're just worthless. But he showed me something else. When I went to camp one year at Youth for Christ, and my friend came along with me as a buddy, and I want you to know that she had not yet heard anything about Jesus and did not know him as her Lord and Savior. But since I needed her help, she came along with me, and she ended up hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and committed her life to him that year. I also began to see that, oh, maybe these legs aren't so bad. Like the time when I went to Disney World, and because I'm in my wheelchair, I get front of the line for every ride. You should be jealous. Julie was with me, the woman who introduced me to Christ, and she was like, I never want to hear you complain about your legs again. I learned after all of this happened that I did have a purpose in life. God was also faithful in showing me this. But there was just one problem. Because I was in those special needs classes, I couldn't receive credits, which means that I would not be able to receive my grade 12 diploma. And I knew that God was calling me to get an education so that I could teach people about him and do whatever he had called me to do. So after 2 years of trying to get in those integrated classes, I wasn't allowed, and my mom was very hesitant to let me try. But after 2 years of fighting, they finally just let me try one class, and I got a 94% in that class. And in 2011, after 7 years of being in high school, I graduated with my grade 12 diploma with honors. So God was faithful in that. But not only so, because it was a dream of mine to go to university. And once again, everyone was like, Jenny, you can't go to university. But I knew that's what God was calling me to do. And so I applied to one university. I applied to Tyndale University College and Seminary, and I was accepted there. And I want to tell you that May 2nd, 2015, I became a university graduate with my Bachelor of Religious Education in the General Ministries program. God has been faithful in my life. And he has been shaping me and molding me and showing me what he has called me to do. as I've been throughout my years of university, I had the opportunity to go on missions trips. I went on 3 different missions trips. I went twice to Zambia, Africa. And the reason why I went to Zambia, Africa is because people who live with disabilities there are looked down upon, so much so that they're hidden away to die. And God called me there to share my testimony that He gives everyone worth and value and purpose. And He gives you worth and value and purpose. No matter what your circumstance, don't forget it. As you can see, God has been very faithful in my life as He has included me into His family and brought me hope and restoration. That is not to say that life still isn't challenging. There are still days when I go through and I wake up and I'm just so in pain that I want to give up. And I'm like, oh. And there are times when I struggle with fears and insecurities, but I now know that God is faithful and He will not leave me alone. I don't have to do this thing called life on my own anymore. And you don't either. Sometimes you may think that things have gone too far, are too hopeless, or too ugly for God to restore. But let me tell you, all things are possible with God. I want to challenge you to be faithful to God. And if you have not given your life to Him, if you have not trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I challenge you to do so. If God is calling you to do this, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy, but it does mean that you can rely on God's promises for your life, in your life, and you can have a relationship with Him, not just today, but forever in heaven. There's nothing better than that. I also not only want to challenge you to be faithful to God in your relationship with Him and to just keep on encouraging you to keep going as well, but to be faithful to one another. I know that sometimes things happen within a church family that can cause deep, deep scars that seem impossible to repair. But I want to challenge you today to continue to love one another as Jesus has loved you and to be faithful to one another and not turn your backs on each other, making the wounds worse. I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." I pray that as you go forward, you can be faithful to God and to one another as He is faithful to each one of us. Thank you. As we go forward into this week, know that we go in the security that our faithful God will go with us in every situation. And in turn, may we respond to Him in faithfulness. As God's dearly beloved people, may we receive His blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people say, amen.